Episode 1258, My Strength is My Story with Scott and Bethany Palmer, The Five Money Personalities.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching people. Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us a dynamic couple. Oh, yes, Scott and Bethany Palmer. I have one question for you. What does coffee, money, and marriage have in common? You'll want to stay tuned. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Bethany and Scott's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Our episode today is brought to you by Health, Hope, and Inspiration with Reverend Percy McRae, created by Cancer Treatment Centers of America to provide cancer care information and resources to the faith-based community. Each episode is designed to encourage your heart, educate your mind, strengthen your body, build your faith, and give you hope. You'll want to listen in weekly by subscribing to the podcast at healthhopeandinspiration.com. Well, I've got to tell you that Scott and Bethany were a joy. Oh my goodness, I cannot wait for you to hear. It was so much fun. We talked about everything from money, divorce, infidelity. Oh, and maybe you have another personality. Let me ask you this. What is your relationship with money? Without further ado, let's welcome in Scott and Bethany Palmer, the five money personalities. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have a dynamic duo with us. They are a couple, Scott and Bethany Palmer. They've been married for 20 years and have two adorable, precious boys. They're famously known as the money couple. With over 45 years of combined financial planning experience, Scott and Bethany have dedicated their lives helping couples bring their love and money together. Scott and Bethany are featured on national TV and radio shows and have written five books. And one of their latest books is The Five Money Personalities, where it focuses on speaking the same love and money language. Who would have thought that I have a money personality? I think I'm a little, I don't know if I'm type A. Well, what am I personality? Welcome, my friends, brother and sister in Christ. How are you?
We are great.
We are great. It's great to be with you.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here, but it's a topic no one wants to talk about. It's money.
I know. Isn't that amazing? It's like something that impacts us every single day and no one wants to talk about it.
That's right. In fact, after we're done chatting, I get to go do a few things that deal with money. And it's just, it's a heartbreak sometimes for a lot of people, but you're going to make it easy for us today.
That's absolutely right. And fun.
Oh, I love fun. Well, before we dive in too deep, I have to ask you, what fills your heart with joy?
Well, I mean, obviously family. I mean, we've got two amazing boys. We have one son that's about to turn 17, then our next one is right on his heels, about to turn 15. So everybody talks about how the teenage years are so terrible. We love them. We are just having a blast with these boys. And it's definitely a different stage. And then our marriage, we've been married 20 years. We just got back from a week all by ourselves, which is why I don't have dark circles under my eyes right now.
Looking good.
I think we slept for the first 4 days. But really, I think what our passion and our motivation is that Bethany and I have had the opportunity to be in the financial planning world for 25 years. And kind of where this ministry / message / mission that we're on came from was, as we were doing financial advising, we advised couples a lot. That was kind of our core, kind of what we did core-wise. And we had a couple come in that had plenty of money, like a ton of money. They came in and they sat down. I had all the graphs ready. We had all the reports ready. And it was just, there was so much tension. You just could cut it with a knife. So Beth and I are kind of looking at each other going like, what's going on here? I mean, why are we, what's going on? So after about 5 or 10 minutes, Beth gave me the poke under the table, which is ask them what's wrong, because this is getting weird, which we did. And they said, well, really, actually, we're getting divorced and we're here to split up the assets. And so we were just kind of shocked.
We really were.
So what happened after that was I just kind of blurted out. I'm like, well, why are you getting a divorce? And what as a guy, what my mind went to was, well, maybe he's surfing porn, or maybe somebody cheated on somebody, or, you know, there were past family issues. Are you addicted to drugs? I'm just going through all of those things in my mind. And she spoke up. She didn't even have to think about it. She said, money. We just can't get along about money. Now, that's kind of weird, telling your financial advisors that are advising you about money that you're getting divorced over money. So that kind of took the wind out of our sails, to say the very least. And so what happened that next, we went home that night and we were just like, can you believe this is happening? I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere, in our opinion. And Beth said, I don't understand the whole money comment. Like, everything is lined up. I mean, they have no debt. Their house is getting paid off. The college savings accounts are there. Like, every box that we're taught to check was checked. And so what happened was, I called him the next day and said, you just got to give me an example. Give me an example of why you're getting divorced over money. And he said, all right, let's talk about coffee. And I was like, coffee, really? Okay. All right, talk to me about coffee. And he said, you know, I love my fancy schmancy cup of coffee. Now, this is a guy that's worth millions of dollars. So him buying coffee is not going to implode their budget by any means. And he said, you know what, Scott, every morning for the last 20 years, she just nags at me. She tries to give me home-brewed coffee in a thermos. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I want to buy the coffee that I want to buy. And then he gave me three or four more examples of just where he felt like she just nitpicked at him all the time about money. And so Beth and I, that kind of put Beth on a mission to go out there and find something that we could give this couple to hopefully help them talk about their money. And there was nothing. There's all sorts of stuff that talks about how to get out of debt, how to have the perfect budget, how to have the perfect cash flow, how to have the perfect retirement. But there's nothing about relationship stress and how to deal as a couple with money, especially when you look at it differently. So that was 10 years ago, and we've been on a crazy journey since then. But what we found was we needed to develop something that couples could take quickly that would help them understand who they are, because you can't be good for this person, if you're not understanding why you look at money, how can you take your views and force them on someone else? So how do we look at ourselves, and then how do we look at our spouse or significant other, and then how do we mush those together to understand what's really happening with money? And that's how we created the five money personalities.
And you know what's really interesting about the whole thing is that a lot of times people think, like Scott said, and like this couple, we thought that it was, you know, maybe they didn't agree about the retirement plan or the tax planning or estate planning, but it was those everyday little things. And here's the thing, people think that if, especially as couples too, well, one person will do the finances and then we'll get along about it because they'll take care of it. Well, here's the thing, money impacts us every single day, whether we want to think of it that way or not. Let me give you an example. I just went to go buy some gas and I had to decide, do I want high grade gas, mid grade, low grade? There was a money component to that decision. We're trying to decide with our kids, are we going to allow them to be able to go on the AAU team or stay with just their local school team? And there's a money component to that decision. We're going on vacation, money components. I mean, there's money components to just about every single decisions. And you know what? God talks about money more than just about anything else in the Bible. And the reason he does is because he knew that money was going to impact us in such a great way. And money's not a bad thing. It's how we deal with it and how if we put the money over a relationship, which is a bad thing. So we are excited to be able to have the tools and the system to be able to help couples work through their differences, which these differences are tearing our relationships apart. Let me give you one statistic. There's a 50% divorce rate, and no different with Christian marriages. 70% of them cite money as the main reason they got divorced. So we've got to conquer this. We can do it. It can be fun too. And actually, it can bring the spark back inside of your relationship if you do it well and right.
I love the spark idea and bringing back the money and the love. Some people would just say that if I have a budget, I'm okay. I've got it all put together.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, one of you might say that, but what about
right.
the other one?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
That's what we deal with so much is that one person, like, so I'm a little bit more of the budget in our relationship than Bethany. I have to have a plan. I love everything in front of me. I know every password. I know that's just my world. She's not as much. So she doesn't really care to be blunt, even though we're financial advisors. She just, that's not what she does. And so I can have all these amazing spreadsheets and have all this information and have all this stuff put together to show her. She's never going to be like, that is amazing. But she's learned to come to appreciate that I'm into that. So what we often find with couples is one person's totally into it and the other person just feels smothered by it. Because, big shocker here, we are attracted to our opposites. And that's absolutely true with money too. You are usually, we've had over 160,000 people take our assessment online. 80% of the couples that have taken it have opposite money personalities that are bumping into each other. So Beth said earlier, 70% of all divorcees cite money as their number one reason for their breakup. Statistically, I'm surprised it's not higher, because we're showing that 80% of all people marry their money opposites.
Wow, that is, okay, so you just dropped the mic on that one, because it makes it like a reality. Today, debt is happening all the time. Right. And in fact, you write in your book that you have to know how to separate the details of your budget from the details of your money relationship.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Because one person can put a debt, get out of debt plan together in the relationship. And if the other person isn't buying into it and doesn't see it as a good thing, then it's just going to cause tension. So here, the one person is like, here, I put this debt plan together. Aren't I great? Woo. And the other person is going, I'm not following that, because you didn't put any money in there in that plan for me to budget. So it's just really important to do it together, to do it in a way that serves both of you. You know, we say, you know, being in credit card debt is not a good thing. Okay. That's just not a good thing. However, at the same time, if you want to get out of it and you get out of it, you know, some people say at all costs, you should get out of debt. Well, if you can get out of debt in 5 years and still have a relationship.
Yeah, divorce is expensive.
Yeah.
So we always say it's okay to kind of take your time with some of those financial decisions, because even if you end up spending, maybe you have to pay an extra $3,000 or $4,000 in credit card interest over a 2 year period, average divorce is 75 grand. So you're still saving yourself money and you're going to make your relationship stronger. So you have to learn how to come together on these, all of them important. Getting out of debt, it's totally important. But what I think we've done, especially in the financial planning world, and I can speak into this because that's part of my world, is that we put the cart before the horse. We've said, if you do all these things, if you get out of debt, if you have the perfect budget, if you, you know, have the perfect credit score, whatever, you're going to have a great relationship. And that's just absolutely not true. And we can prove that point with the fact that 70% of all divorces are over money. So once you understand how you need to communicate about money, how you can communicate about money and the differences, well, then you can get on the same page with the budget and the getting out of debt and all the retirement planning.
Wow. Okay. So if y'all are listening and you're going, I am so confused, that's why you're going to want to pick up your own copy of The Money Personalities, Speaking the Same Love and Money Language. It's a great book. It's a book that you can dive deep into. And one of them is where you talk about the five money personalities. I know them because I read the book. I want you to tell me about them.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to quickly go through them. And we made them really easy to understand because, and this is the reason we made them so easy to understand, because everybody has a primary one and a secondary one. And it's your combination of those that makes you unique. It's not one over the other. It's the combination that makes you unique. So let me quickly go through them. And you have a primary one and a secondary one. It's kind of funny. I'll get into that in a minute. All right. So the first one is saver. All right. So savers are interesting. They like to save money. They love the coupons and all that. But here's the interesting thing about when it comes to a relationship is they like other people to save as well. So if the other person isn't saving, that hurts them just as much as it does if they aren't saving.
So that person that you take out to lunch that shows up with a coupon for everybody, that is your typical saver for sure.
Yeah, totally. All right. So saver. All right. Next one is the exact opposite of that. And that is a spender. Now, a spender is the person who loves to spend money. Okay. But here's the other side to that. They don't just like to spend money on themselves. They are very, very generous and love to give money and give gifts to other people. And they enjoy that. So you know those people that you go to, let's say you put a party together and you say, no gifts, please. They bring a gift anyway.
That's me.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they are just very generous, but they are those spenders. Okay, so saver, spender. Next one is a risk taker. Now, these are the people, and they can have, again, either primary or secondarily, that are the entrepreneurs of the world. They love to have adventure. And it shows itself out in big ways, but it also shows itself in small, everyday ways. Like, for example, the restaurants that they like to go to. Usually they like different ones. They like that sense of adventure. They go on a vacation. They want that kind of, I want to go somewhere different. I want to go somewhere fun. Let's do something kind of out of the ordinary. Let's be a little bit more spur of the moment. So that would be your risk taker money personality. All right. The fourth one is the direct opposite of that, which is a security seeker. A security seeker is a person who really needs a plan. They want a money plan. They're not concerned as much like a saver of the amount. They just need a plan. And if they have a plan and it shows itself out in vacations, they like kind of consistency. They don't want a lot of surprises. They just like that plan, that money plan. All right, so saver, spender, risk taker, security seeker. And the last one is a flyer. Now, the reason we came up with and discovered the flyer money personality is because there's a whole group of people that one of their money personalities, either primary or secondarily, they really don't care about money as much. They're more fly by the seat of their pants when it comes to money. So that's where that flyer came. But here's the thing I just love about flyers is that they give and they take relationships over money decisions. So for example, I wish I had a little bit more flyer in me, but when there's a decision about, let's say somebody said, let's go on a vacation, they're not going to be thinking about, where are we going to go? So they just, yes, because they see that it is a relationship activity. You ask a flyer out to lunch. Yes. They don't really care where you go. They just, yes, we're going. And so flyers are great because they put relationships over money, which I wish we all had a little component to. But those five are where it is. But then again, everybody has two of the five. So me, for example, I'm a primary spender, all right, secondary risk taker. So I love to give gifts. I love to spend money. I love that. But then I also like that sense of adventure. Scott, on the other hand, is a primary spender. So he's with me on that. We have no problem there. We are always talking about who we're giving to, and it's just fun. But secondarily, we're opposite. Scott is a security seeker, and it bumps up against my risk taker all the time. Let me give you an example.
Yeah, so I think where this plays out in our relationship is because we have a total of, well, we're getting rid of one, but two businesses that we run together. And so she would come to me with an idea and it would be kind of out of my security seeking realm and I'd just shoot it down. A lot of security seekers and savers were no people. Can we buy this? No. Can we go here? No. Because it just makes us uncomfortable. It just takes us out of our zone, out of our money personality zone. So where we would have conflict is especially with business, and that, you know, she would come up with these ideas and I would just shoot them down. And we noticed this was happening a lot. Once we discovered the money personalities, it was awesome because I could say, oh yeah, I always say no about everything because it freaks me out.
Whoa. I said to you, remember
that conversation too.
Did you know, honey, that you always say no to me anytime I have an idea?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that kind of put us on our personal journey. We're definitely far from the perfect couple. That's for darn sure.
That's for sure.
And we've had our money conflicts.
Yes,
and we still have money conflicts.
Yes, we do.
Because just like anything else, even when you understand what the personalities are, you're probably married to an opposite like we are. Mm-hmm. So you have opportunities every day, probably a couple times a day, to butt heads over money, whether it's eating out, whether it's choosing your next vacation. I mean, there's just so many opportunities. So what we also found with these money personalities, I have to say for the first couple of years, we just really focused on the primary. What we found is the more and more counseling we did with couples was that the secondary money personality was so important as well. Because, like, for instance, me, I'm a primary spender and a secondary security seeker. So those money personalities internally conflict with me, so I can be really confusing. For instance, I never take a tag off of anything I buy because I return about half the stuff that I buy, especially if I purchased it spontaneously. So if we were just in a store and I said, hey, this would look great on you, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, great, I'll buy it in the moment, it's going to go back, I almost guarantee it.
Because it bumped up against his security seeker.
It wasn't part of my plan to buy that. So like, for instance, at the beginning of the summer, we had to take the kids shopping and get their summer clothes put together. And we're a hyper sports family. So we had to get cleats. We had to get all this stuff. Well, that was part of my plan. I knew how much we were going to spend. I had a list. I didn't even think twice about it. But if someone said, hey, can we get this on top of this? No, because that's not part of the plan. So I don't have a problem spending the money. But if it kind of goes out of the box, or it goes out of what we had talked about, that's when I freak out. And so that's
and how I know that now.
Yeah.
So when he does freak out,
she's like, all right, we'll get it later when dad's not around. So, which is fine, because I don't really want to know anyway. But so that's how these, even internally, you can have these money personalities. So you can have, most of us have an opposite dynamic with our spouse. Most of us, at least 60 to 70% that we found, have an opposite dynamic internally. So we're always confused ourselves about our money personalities. And you can have up to 4 money personalities in a relationship, all bouncing into each other all the time. And that's why people get divorced over money. It's that simple. They're either married to somebody that's really confusing about money, or they're in a situation where they're married to their money opposite and they just can't get on the same page and they don't know why, because they can't really explain why.
Whoa. I haven't taken the assessment yet. Yeah. Neither has my husband yet. He's excited, though, that we're chatting. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. That tells me a lot about you right there.
And, you know, the crazy thing is, though, is I think a lot of people don't know that the problem that they're in, that they really have a problem with money. And so they're blaming it on everything else when it comes down to their personality with money and how their relationship is with it.
You've got it. Exactly. And once you understand that, it's so revealing, and you can start using it as a benefit. So for example, for us, we've been married 20 years now, but I've learned so much from Scott on the security seeker side. I find myself oftentimes saying, well, honey, let's just sit down, let's make a plan for it. And you would not have heard that out of my mouth before. Also, on the opposite side, I'll come with ideas with Scott on business ideas, or even vacation ideas or a restaurant ideas. And he's like, sure, let's give it a try. I see that it makes us stronger now that we understand we're not afraid of it. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, especially savers and security seekers, if you have one of those of either your primary or secondary, you are oftentimes have fear that is overwhelming you. Fear that something's going to cost too much money. Fear that your spouse is going to spend money. Fear that we're going to go against the plan of what we said we were going to do. And so there's a lot of fear that's coming up. As a matter of fact, just this morning, we got an email from our website, because you can email us questions. And the lady said, we're putting this budget together. I'm so afraid that he's not going to follow it. What do I do? And I looked up her money personalities, saver and security seeker. She's just so fearful. And you know what? That makes him feel like he can't be trusted. And so what you're saying when you're so afraid that somebody's going to do something is that you can't be trusted, one. And number two, you are irresponsible. I'm the parent in the relationship and you're the irresponsible one. And it just plays out in so many ways. So if you really understand who both of you are and you're both trying to compromise based on who you are, it can just bring you together. And so quickly, that's the fun thing. It doesn't sound like it takes you 5 years.
It's a quick fix.
It takes practice,
especially like what you were describing. So you were probably talking about a money huddle, which is where you meet once a month and you evaluate, you talk about your needs and you talk about your dreams. And what we found is that it's such a great way to meet, because the other way to meet is, okay, let's sit down and look at the budget and let's figure out who's doing what wrong. That's budgeting. I don't even like the word budget. I hate the word budget, because budget is just blaming. It's a blame game. As where cash flow worksheet, you're just looking at where is the cash coming in and what's going out and what do we need to tweak. But what I tell couples is that if you can just get to the point where you're meeting at least once a month and you have a format, and we go really into detail in our book about this, and you have a format of what that meeting looks like, It should take you no more than 45 minutes. And what you're going to find in your relationship is you start talking about money less.
And thinking about it less.
Because you're not worried about it.
Yep.
And if another spouse, you know, does something that wasn't in the plan, you can just take a note and know I'm just going to table that. And we'll talk about it when we have, you know, when we have our next meeting. Now, if they go and buy a Lamborghini or something behind your back, then you've got huge issues that we probably can't talk about and cover today. But the reality is that it's just about communicating different, and it's just about understanding each other different. And we've seen couples with a little bit of money, you know, have an amazing, prosperous relationship because they got on the same page. And we've seen couples with a lot of money even have more of a prosperous relationship because they're talking about it in a way that builds both of them up, and they're looking at it and basically trying to reach the same goals.
Y'all are chomping at the bit. I know you want to pick up your own copy of The 5 Money Personalities, Speaking the Same Love and Money Language. And we got to learn this language because it is a different language. When you, Bethany and Scott, learn to communicate together versus your three personalities, I'm sure some things began to shift in your relationship. Can you share a story with us?
Yes, absolutely. So
I've got the great donut one.
Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it.
I've got a great story.
Okay.
So one of the things that we learned, because like I said earlier, Beth and I really, especially when it came to business, that's where we had the majority of our conflict, was that that's where we would butt heads. And so
it was my ideas that maybe made the most challenge.
Yeah, made it the most. Yeah. So one day she came home to me and said, hey, listen, I would like.
We had been married
we were probably 11 or 12 years in because it was after the money person.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So she came and said, hey, listen, I found this amazing investment opportunity, which usually would shut me down because I didn't hear amazing business opportunity. I heard something, hey, I've got a really risky opportunity that's going to lose a bunch of money for us. That's what I heard. I never heard, hey, I've got a great opportunity, even though that's what's coming out of her mouth. I heard, you're about to lose a lot of money because of this idea that I have. And I said, okay, great. And she said, I think that we can be part of buying the Dunkin' Donut franchise in the country, in the countries of Estonia. So first of all, I was like, where is Estonia? And the second thing, now I love that tasty pastry called the donut. Get me wrong. If you could see me standing up, you could see that I don't shy away from donuts. But the interesting thing was, in the past, I would have just said, that's crazy. I don't even know where Estonia is. Are you nuts? I'm not doing that. Instead, I said, listen, that might be an amazing opportunity. Let me go do the research. And that's the cool things about your money personalities is she now, when she sees a business opportunity, she doesn't have to do the research because she knows if she just suggests it to me, I'm going to do the research because as a security seeker, I need to feel really good about the investment and she gets out of all the work. So it's awesome. So I'm happy and she's happy.
Well, the thing that I want to point out about all that is, did you hear that he didn't say no? His first reaction was not no. It was, oh my goodness, maybe that's an opportunity. Let me look into that. And that fed my tank. That fed my tank of me going, gosh, he cares enough to actually hear my idea. And then he goes and then I know I can trust him to go do the research. Now, give the end of the story.
We did not end up buying the Dunkin' Donuts franchise in Estonia.
Oh, darn.
A lot of research. I found that there's only one central plant that makes the donuts and it gets shipped out. And I didn't quite understand how we're going to make that work. Anyways, we passed on it. I'm sure the guy that bought it is doing awesome. But we decided not to go in that direction. But I was able to sit down with Bethany and say, hey, listen, I talked to Dunkin' Donut Corporate and this is what it looks like. And this is how it works here. And this is the distribution. And it didn't even take me that long to figure all this out. It was just a couple phone calls. But then we could move together as a couple in the decision and she didn't feel shut down. She felt like, oh, you know, he did the research. Now I can walk away from that. And I'm glad we are walking away from that. And that is an example of how we've had to redo our relationship. But you could take that with any of the money personalities. A saver needs to let the spender spend some money. So free up part of the money in your cash flow to let them spend money. Because if you don't let your spender save money, they're going to either divorce you or just spend it behind your back, which is going to lead to divorce anyways. Mm-hmm. If you've got a risk taker and you never let them take risks, you're just holding them back and they're going to do it behind your back. So really understanding those money personalities and then taking those money personalities and looking at the allocations that you have and the assets you have and making sure that both of you are getting what you need in a relationship is how you're just going to separate your relationship from other friends that aren't willing to do that because you're not stressing out about money anymore.
Wow, this is such a breath of fresh air. I think maybe we're bringing some hope into some marriages right now that they feel like they're drowning in. And I know when they pick up your book and they dive deeper and connect with you, it's going to be extraordinary. And, you know, lives will be changed in this. I know you all have experienced that, but I want to address an elephant in the room.
Oh, okay.
And that's infidelity.
Ooh, yes.
You talk about it in your book, and it's not sexual infidelity. It's financial infidelity.
Got it.
What
Got
is it? It?
Okay, absolutely. Financial infidelity is hiding, cheating, hoarding money behind your spouse's back. It's very simple. That's what it is. But it comes into so many relationships. And let's all agree that lying inside of a relationship is not going to bring you together. I think we can all agree with that. And for some reason, people think that the money part is in its own category and it's okay to lie when it comes to money. I mean, we have a couple who just talk, you know, when she goes to buy a purse, she'll do it half cash, half on a credit card so he doesn't know. I mean, we've heard it, every kind of financial infidelity story that you can hear. And it's not only always bad in the sense of that they spent money. I mean, we have a story of a lady and her husband wanted to start a business. And he was like, oh, I just need $10,000 to start this business, but we don't have it. She literally went into her underwear drawer and pulled out $10,000. She had been, every time she would go to the store, she would pull out a little extra cash because she was afraid that he was always going to spend the money. And she would stick it in her underwear drawer. And she literally had almost, it was just about $10,000. And he was so happy on one hand, but here's the other thing. He was ticked on the other hand because he's like, what in the world? You've been hiding all this money from me for all these years. They've been married for like 25 years. You've been hiding this from me? So it's not always just the spending side. It can be on the saving side too. So, you know, there's four, we outline in our book four causes of financial infidelity, but they really do play havoc on relationships. And I understand that you think money is separate and hiding money and lying about money is it's like its own category and it's okay to do it. It's not okay. It's tearing our relationships apart. I mean, how do you feel when you find out that somebody told you a lie? It doesn't matter if it was a lie about money or a lie about whatever. So we've got to stop the fighting, but we've got reasons why financial infidelity happened. And a lot of the reasons have to do because of the difference in your money personality.
And I think it's really easy to justify financial infidelity for some people, especially if like you're a saver security seeker and you're like, they're never going to know about this money, but I'm saving it for their own good. Or I'm going to have this secret credit card because he or she, you know, doesn't really need to know about this. And so, you know, we've heard a lot of people over the years say, well, you can never have separate checking accounts. You can never have separate credit cards. We would say, who cares? As long as you're being 100% transparent, as long as she can or he can jump in on my credit card and look exactly what I'm spending, or they can go into my business account and look exactly what I'm spending, we could care less. I think that is something people historically have gotten hung up on, as where we would say, listen, we've seen financial infidelity happen with a couple that, you know, had a lot of money and had a little money. I mean, it doesn't matter. The reality is, it's just you have to have this 100% transparency because hiding money is so easy. You can pay everything online now. I mean, you could have your own credit card with 40, 50 grand on it and your spouse would never know. And so the financial infidelity is an easy way to cheat. But once again, it also goes to the core of who you are. It's, in my opinion, it's just as bad as sexual infidelity because it attacks the very person of who you are. When you sit down and do a budget with someone and then they go and spend $400 on an outfit or a new set of golf clubs and they come home with those, it crushes you because it broke an agreement that you all had. And so financial infidelity really tears couples apart. And we see it end marriages all the time because it's an attack on their personality and to the core of who they are.
Hmm. for those who are listening right now and they're identifying, they're saying maybe they know that they are guilty of the financial infidelity. Where can they begin a first step to correcting this sin, so to speak? I mean, it's sure. a sin in marriage.
Sure. Yeah.
What's that first step?
Absolutely. The first step is to admit it. Admit it to yourself, admit it to your spouse. And you know, a lot of us, most of us have a natural forgiving heart. If someone comes to you proactively, we have in our heart a place to forgive. It's when we find out about it where it hurts the most. Mm-hmm. So if it all starts with, you know what, honey? I feel like you squish me when it comes to money. I feel like you won't let me spend money ever. And so I feel like I need to go behind your back. And I don't want to go behind your back anymore because it's a form of lying. And it's breaking the trust bond than the trust commitment that we made in our vows when we got married. I don't want to do that anymore. So let's talk about what our differences are in terms of money. And let's figure out a way for me to be able to have a little bit of spending money so then I don't feel like I need to hide it behind you anymore. I mean, there's a perfect example. Who wouldn't just be like, oh my goodness, I have the best spouse in the world. You know, who wouldn't say that? We all make mistakes, mm-hmm. but it's just in how you approach it. And then if you know in the back of your mind, you are a certain way when it comes to money and they are a certain way. Now you have a tool to be able to understand those differences, not just philosophically talk about it.
We direct a lot of our couples that are going through that when we're initially doing the counseling saying, go take your money personality assessment, because it gives you, you need to confess it and come clean with it. But then you can say, we need to put some things in place to make sure this never happens again. And that when you become proactive with a problem, that also speaks to the other person. Instead of just waiting for the, oh, I'm sorry, and then, whew, glad we got that over with, go back to your old habits. If you say, listen, now that you know what's going on, I want to proactively put some things in place to make sure that we can get on the same page about money. That's where the money personalities hit in. That's where the ongoing money meetings called the money huddle. Usually what we find is that, you know, what we find in this society is that if you're a saver or a security seeker, you're kind of put on this pedestal. I mean, you're never going to have debt. You're going to never do this. And you're never going to do that. You're a better person than all these other people that spend money and have fun. So that's what we find a lot. But what we also find is that often they also control a lot of the money. So we had a couple that, a friend of mine that called me, and he called me and said, listen, I just found a $15,000 credit. These are friends from church. I just found a $15,000 credit card that my wife never told me about. And I am so upset. Would you guys do a counseling session with us? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Come in. I said, this is the one thing I want. I need you to print off and scan an email to me before you show up the credit card statement, because I wanted to see what she was spending money on. And so they came in and Bethany and I reviewed the credit card statement. There was no trips to Nordstrom's. There wasn't, you know, $150 lunches with friends. It was like to Target. It was to Walmart. So when they came in and sat down, I asked her, I said, explain to me some of these charges. And she's like, well, that was for back to school. That was this, that was this. And after about 5 minutes, I took the statement out of her hand and I handed it to him. I said, this is your problem. This isn't her problem. Because you're the one that's controlling the finances so much. She's trying to make it work for your family, and you're not opening yourself up to seeing the needs of your family. You're just opening yourself up to the budget. And I said, she's going to divorce you in a couple of years if you keep this up. It was that easy. And so my point is this, is that when you have relationships where one person is controlling the money, I almost guarantee you financial infidelity. According to creditcards.com, 63% of all women have a secret checking account or credit card, and 35% of men do. So that doesn't say to me women spend more. It doesn't say that at all. It says women are being controlled more by their husbands in the tune of 62%. That's leading to financial infidelity. And only about 35% of men are being controlled by their wives when it comes to money. But the reality is if one person is holding those purse strings so hard, it's going to force the other person into financial infidelity, and your marriage is basically going to be over anyways. So learn the money personalities, learn how to compromise, Financial infidelity does not have to end your marriage. It's probably a symptom of something else.
Oh my goodness. Okay, y'all need to go run to the bookstore right now or click on your computer and pick up your own copy of The Five Money Personalities, Speaking the Same Love and Money Language. Well, how has this whole process for you all, how has it deepened your love for each other, understanding money personalities and money relationships?
Oh, I can't even tell you. I mean, we have had a lot of ups and downs financially in our relationship due to starting new companies, closing other ones out, so on and so forth. And so because of that, we wouldn't still be doing it if we didn't understand each other, because right. we would have been like, well, we don't get along, so we better not do any kind of business together. We love doing business. We worked together even before we were married. So we love doing it. So wouldn't it have been a shame if we would have said, if not have understood each other's differences and been able to now work together and be able to build as the things that we have together, if we would have just said, oh, well, we don't agree about money and we never will, so we can't. And it's just been really, really exciting. And I love it because we bring our kids into it. I mean, we'll say, because we know exactly what our kids are. We have assessments for kids on our website as well that have age-appropriate questions. And so we know, you know, one son is just like Scott, spender, security seeker. The other son is a risk-taker, security seeker.
He's so complicated.
He's complicated.
Now.
But I'll tell you what. We've been able to encourage them, and we'll say, well, you know what, honey, as a matter of fact, one of my sons went to Germany with his class, and he's a risk taker, so he's excited about it, but he's a security seeker, so he gets nervous about it too, because it's like, what's going to happen? So I said, you know what, honey, I said, when you go on this trip, I want you to tap into that risk taker. I said, you know, you're going to be doing a lot of new things, a lot of exciting things, and just if you have to pick one side of your brain to be on, pick on the risk taker side. Do you know that that kid had so much fun, experienced so many things, and he came home and he said, you know what, Mom, I did it. I tapped into my risk taker and I did more things than I never would have done. And so that's how to really be able to parent our children, to be able to be excited about each other, is to really understand, accept, acknowledge, and then encourage who they are in Christ. Now, that's a whole nother subject we could say. You know, people are like, do they change over time? Do your money personalities change? And we have a whole thing about that in our book about why. No, we really believe and know that they are ingrained into our DNA and they're not going to change. We can learn the aspects of the other money personalities, which we all have, many of us have, as we get older and wiser. But it's really important to know that we're not going to change. So let's make sure that we're accepting one another and encouraging who they are when it comes to their money personalities.
Oh, that's awesome. So now you have assessments. What are the ages? Because we'll make sure we have those links in the show notes.
Absolutely. So first of all, we have our main one. So when you go onto our website, it's right there. But then as you go up on the top, you can click on and say which age groups. And the age groups are age 5 to 11. Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Oh, 5 to 12, 13 to 17, and 18 to 25. So it's interesting because, you know, a lot of times people need to know are dealing with adult children, if you will. And so, you know, those questions we adapted a little bit to be a little bit more appropriate for that age group. But 5 to 12, 13 to 17, and 18 to 25.
Well, I know my kiddos have got some homework now. I have 5, and they're gonna Woo! Fall into all of those.
Absolutely. It'll be a family activity, right?
That's right. Well, I'll do it together.
Exactly. And I think that's important because in our communication, when we talk about it, and Scott, you mentioned about this earlier, how you heard one thing, but Bethany didn't say those words.
Right.
And, you know, you were like, no, this means spending money. This means not having a nest egg, so to speak. I don't need her risking our livelihood 20 years from now because she thinks donuts are a great thing.
Right.
You know, exactly. But she didn't say that to you. That's what you heard. And Bethany's like, but I just want something. I'm a creative. I want to do something different. I want to go out and change the world and touch the world. And you're like, oh no, baby, we can't do that.
Yeah.
That communication.
And it was just an idea. I'm not saying that we're going to go do it necessarily. I'm just saying it's an idea because that's who I am. So risk takers have ideas. That doesn't mean necessarily you're going to go out and implement every single one of them.
You know,
but they think.
Yeah, we freak out. Right. You know, with our youngest son, who's the same money person on me, but he is like, he loves spending money. Like he gets money and it's gone within about 20 seconds, it feels like. Instead of saying, hey, let's set up a savings account for you, we just changed our language. Because when if you said to a 14-year-old, hey, let's do a savings account, he sees that as the money that I'm working towards, I don't get to spend. We just refer to it as his future spending account. And so because it's a spending account, he knows he has flexibility. And he's, you know, saved like $2,500 for his car already because it's his future spending account, not a future savings account. And so you bring up such a good point in that it's really the vernacular and the delivery of how you're talking to your spouse or even your kids. The reason our money meeting is called a money huddle is because if you said our monthly budgeting meeting, no one would show up. So if you say our money huddle, what's a huddle? It's a team coming together. It's, you know, it's not this intimidating, terrible 45 minutes of blame. It's a money huddle. It's what a team does. A team huddles to make sure that they're going out and they're calling the right plays. So it really is. It's just how you present it. It's how you talk. It's how you position it to each other that really can pretty quickly within 90 days, we've seen relationships on the brink of divorce that within 90 days have just turned the boat. They saved the Titanic because they're no longer fighting about money.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I want to add in here, in reading your book, I also found that if either the woman or the man, whoever's listening to this, and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I know I've got money issues, but I don't know where to start. Just start by opening your eyes and watching what your spouse does with how they respond to anything that deals with money. Just watch. And then you can take the money personality. Now, I know in your book you say don't assume it, make them take it, but you can begin the process first and then figure out a way to introduce it and say, you know, I came across this great dynamic couple. They are hilarious. They make money fun. Would you just do this for me? I just want to see what we end up being like. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I just kind of a thought there for play.
And people love finding out more about themselves. I mean, it's if you were taking the money personality to understand your spouse, okay. But if you're taking it to understand who you are. So we tell couples all the time, if you've got a person in your relationship, just say, hey, you got to take this assessment because it's going to show how you approach money. It's all about them. And same with the kids. That's how we sold it to our kids. Of course, they kind of had to take it because they were part of the test group. But, you know, we want to see what you are. We're really interested in getting to know you better. We tell couples that are dating and engaged, man, if you're dating and you're taking your relationship to the next level, you have to know what their money personalities are going into a serious relationship and getting engaged. Because if you can figure this stuff out before you get married, oh my goodness, you're going to save yourself so much pain in the future if you already know what's happening in your relationship. We also say if you're dating someone or you're engaged to someone and they won't talk about money, break off that engagement.
Run as fast as you can because money is going to impact your relationship, whether you like it or not. It does every single day. And if you are with a person who's hiding and doesn't want to talk about it and doesn't want to know their money personalities, I mean, why wouldn't you want to know your money? Something's wrong there. They need to deal with some things before they get into a committed relationship.
Mm. Well, in all of your working with thousands of couples, what has God shown you in your own life?
You know, that whole subject of honesty and openness has been so important in our relationship. And he's really taught us through this and through hearing other people's stories, you know, just always good reminders, you know, let's make sure that we are open and we are honest and we are accepting of who and how God made each other. He made us very different. And so super important to understand that. And he has really shown us. And now we have some tools to be able to do it in an intentional way. But he's really shown us true acceptance and what that means.
I think you also just have to be open to learning. I mean, you have to be open to learning more about yourself You have to always be making yourself more vulnerable to being, you know, corrected. We all have blind spots. And for a lot of people out there, their blind spot is money. I know for me, my blind spot was money, and that this is the way that it's supposed to be. And everybody else is wrong other than me, because I read a book 20 years ago that told me this. I mean, we've got to kind of be able to get over ourselves and continue to learn and continue to move forward. I mean, our wedding vows are for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. Why? Because you're going to have times where you have money, and you're going to have times where you don't have money. It's the reality of marriage. You're going to have times where you're healthy, and you're going to have times where you're sick. That's the reality of marriage. That's why they're in our vows. But we tend to forget them, especially when things get tough. And so just continuing learning and knowing that marriage has its highs and it has its lows. But if you're learning in that process and you're saying, you know what, Lord, I really don't like being financially stressed out. I really don't like the fact that I'm sick or my spouse is sick, but you keep looking at him and saying, I'm learning in this process, then this relationship that you have with your significant other is just going to get stronger. And you're actually going to even look back and say, you know, it was terrible times, but we enjoyed it. Or it was great times and we really enjoyed it. So just being open to that learning and knowing that this world, knowing that this money thing is ebb and flow.
Amen. Now, I know people are going to want to connect with both of you. Where can they find you?
Yes. The best place is to go to our website at themoneycouple.com. Also, we are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then we have, we're introducing a new YouTube channel. So find us there. But it's The Money Couple, and we would love to connect. You know, it's, we love to hear from you. You know, we love to hear from people out there, because you all are talking about the crises that are go inside of the relationships. And that's where we really want to help. And we want to be the resource of choice in that.
Absolutely.
Well, I love that you all have put pen to paper and you've really given us tools and strategies to help us. Before I let you go, I have one final question for you. The name of this series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Oh, well,
wow, that's wide open.
That's wide open. I, you know, fortunately, I'm a, unfortunately, I had breast cancer. Fortunately, I'm a stage 3 breast cancer survivor. And that has taught me a lot. And you combine that with all the money talk that we do. And I just know that God has used those things to really catapult our message and our excitement and our enthusiasm for that. But life has taught me a lot. Life has taught both of us a lot. We have a child who had a very serious knee accident, who's a very, very gifted athlete. And you know, those life situations, they're what really give us the, and if we fight through them, give us the grit and fight through them, no, they really come out on the other side every single time. Every single time it comes out on the other side of being, oh, I see why that happens in my life. You know, one of the slogans that we had when during my cancer journey was, God is good all the time. And if you, and that all was always in capitals, because you can't just say, I've got these money problems, so God isn't with me. I've got this challenge, so God isn't with me. No, he is good all the time, even through those challenges. But it's the free will that he gives us, the grit to work through them, take the tools that he's put right in front of us. That's what really helps us come out on the other side and say, thank you, Lord. Okay, I see it. I see it now, and I see why. But I feel so much better now that I've worked through it.
I think kind of what life has taught me, and since I'm only 23, I've got a lot more years to learn, maybe 24. I can't remember. I stopped counting after 20. But, you know, is the reality is that there's an amazing balance between pursuit and contentment. God did not create us to be stationary people. If you're stationary, you can't learn. You can't experience all the amazing thing that the Lord has in store for you. So you have to keep pursuing his will. You have to keep pursuing your relationship. At the same time, you have to learn the balance of contentment. When you're pursuing something and God says, hey, this isn't the direction I'm giving you, you have to be able to sit back and be content with that answer. And for driven people, that's really hard. For me, that is really hard. When I don't get the answer, I just figure, well, if I ask differently, I'll get a yes. But the reality is, how do you balance the purpose and the drive with the contentment? And I think that's where the learning comes in. And that's where just the pursuit of God's will in your life and not your will. It's a real tough balance, but he'll show you how to manage both those.
You all are a beautiful couple. Oh, I cannot wait for people to get their hands on this book and they connect with you. And I hear a little birdie that's told me maybe there's another book in the works.
There is. We are so excited. You know, with the 70% divorce rate over money, we want to always be putting out resources to be able to help couples work through that. We're going to actually be writing a book focusing on money fights and how to work through them. So we want to stop those money fights. No, not necessary anymore. And so we're excited about that. So working on it now.
Fabulous. Well, I cannot wait to have you back. Thank you so much again for your time.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.